Hey, what's up, everybody? Brandon Woodruff here, and this is the Pastors Getting Fit podcast. Welcome. On today's episode, I interviewed David Denis, and he and I just discussed old dude training, as he put it, which is just us diving into what's been working for him, how it can work for you too. So I think this one's going to be really exciting, and I hope you'll get a lot from it. Three things really quickly. If you are a pastor pursuing fitness goals and are on Facebook and would like to be part of a group of pastors doing the same, just search Pastors Getting Fit, same name as the podcast on Facebook, and I'd be happy to add you. The second thing, if you are enjoying these podcasts or getting anything from them, if you'd share them and or just leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts, that would be really helpful and just help get the word out to others who this could be helpful to. And number three, I'm an online fitness coach. So if you ever find yourself stuck, whether that's at the beginning or the middle of pursuing your fitness goals, if you're stuck for reasons of, you know, motivation or not knowing what to do or accountability or scheduling or whatever it is, just shoot me a text at 251-635-8055 and we will either set up a time to jump on the call or just go back and forth via text, and I will be happy to discuss my coaching packages. If that's a good fit, then I'd love to work with you. If it's not a good fit for whatever reason, then I'll at the very least point you in the right direction and help you avoid some of the craziness that's out there. All right, hope you enjoy this episode. Let me know what you think. All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pastors Getting Fit podcast, and I have David Denis, not David Dennis, which I asked beforehand, thankfully. And so we are going to talk today. I'm just going to ask you first off, David, just kind of introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself here.
Yeah, my name is Dave Denis. I am a pastor of United Baptist Church up here in Concord, New Hampshire. So if you don't know where New Hampshire is, it's to the left of Maine and to the right of Vermont and not quite to Canada, if that helps.
Yeah.
And this is my, since we're talking about, you know, pastors getting fit, I've been a pastor here of this congregation for just under 6 years now. It's my first call. I'm a native New Hampshireite. I did spend 22 years out in the Midwest. I lived in, well, upstate New York for a year in the Adirondacks, and then five years in northern Indiana,
okay.
9 years in Detroit, 7 years in Green Bay, Wisconsin, right?
Gotcha.
And then came back here in 03 and have been living here ever since.
Oh, gotcha. And
I've been doing a lot of different kinds of fitness and physical training stuff for a number of years. I'm 56 years old, so I've been plugging at it for a while.
Yeah.
2 years ago, though, I picked up strength training under the starting strength model, having a fun time with that.
Yeah.
And I trained out of my home gym in my garage.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a different thing too. But
yeah,
it's been a good time. You and I connected when I ran across the Pastors Getting Fit thing that you have on Facebook. It kind of popped up. I thought that sounds interesting, and that's how we kind of connected.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. Cool. I mean, and so kind of the topic you wanted to talk about today, like you titled it Old Dude Training. Is that kind of how you
described it? Yeah, because I certainly am not qualified to talk about nutrition and weight loss. And I'm certainly not qualified to talk about some of that other stuff you've had on. But I'm an old dude and I do train. So I got that.
So you mentioned you glossed over it a little bit there and just kind of said you've been into fitness for years and then discovered the strength training. So would you mind kind of sharing the journey, kind of what you were doing before and then kind of how you got into the strength training and then what that like kind of looked like for you since?
So I've always been active. I've been a hiker. I've done a lot of different things. I've been a runner for a long, long time, probably since college off and on. I'm not built to be a good runner, but I run, you know, have run in the past.
Yeah.
And then in the year 2000, I actually ran a marathon.
Oh,
and
wow.
Of course, running, to say I ran a marathon is overstating it a little bit. I lumbered through.
Yeah, you made it.
The first annual Green Bay Marathon, which was significant because it was in Green Bay and the marathon route actually was routed through Lambeau Field.
Oh, wow.
Well, I have actually run across Lambeau Field on the grass.
Wow.
And not gotten arrested for it.
So,
yeah. So
that's awesome.
Kind of a cool thing. That was an interesting experience. And when that was done, I remember looking at myself in the mirror and like, dude, you're kind of chubby and pasty. and you don't look like a guy who just ran a marathon.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I need to do something about that. And so I actually found Body for Life, which is, it goes way back. So this is around 2000.
Okay.
And Body for Life was kind of a 12-week, they called it a 12-week body transformation program. And it was weightlifting and cardio training that was based on reshaping your body, kind of an introductory bodybuilding kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I did that in my basement too, because I don't like paying for gyms. That's the main reason I don't go to gyms.
Yeah.
To pay somebody for that just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I cobbled together some weights and did a lot of it in my basement and had really good results. Mm-hmm. It was funny. I was actually with fat calipers. I was actually measuring my body fat percentage and my weight.
Mm-hmm.
And according to those measurements, you know, fat calipers, whatever, you know, it's probably loose, but yeah. I ended up gaining 1 pound. But according to those measurements, I put on 10 pounds of muscle.
That's impressive.
And lost 10 pounds of fat. So I gained like 1 pound overall, but reshaped my body. And that was a lot of fun. And it's about that time I discovered kettlebells not long after that. And so I spent a long time training with kettlebells and running, and doing a variety of things. And, at one time I had a truck tire and a sledgehammer, and I spent time doing slamming on that. And for about 5 years, I heated my house exclusively with wood.
Oh, wow.
So there was a lot of splitting of wood being done.
Yeah, that's so cool.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But what happened was, as I got older, running became less attractive to me.
Yeah.
I'm not injured or anything, but I'm in my 50s now, and I'm, you know, over 200 pounds. I'm 6 foot tall, and running is just I'm not built for it.
Yeah. Right? Started taking a toll on the joints.
Yeah, it just wasn't so much fun anymore. And then also what would happen is, especially with the kettlebell work, like every once or twice a year, usually especially in October, like I train hard through the summer, I'd shed some weight, I'd get stronger, and I'd like, this is great, I can keep training through the winter. And then in October, my back would go, chunk!
Yeah.
Right? Something would happen low down in my back, and it would feel like a string popping.
Yeah.
And then there would be pain and soreness, and I'd be laid up.
Yeah.
For at least a couple of days, sometimes a week, you know, before I could get up off the couch. And then weeks before I felt like I could train again, and I would lose everything. And then winter time, and it's hard in the winter anyways to keep fit and keep moving.
Yeah.
And so after that happened a couple of times, I said, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Because the only advice I would get is, well, you shouldn't lift anything over so many pounds. And I'm like, you can't live that way.
Right. Yeah.
There's got to be a way. It's muscles.
Yeah.
It's muscles back there. So there's got to be a way to train that to get stronger so it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And that's when I came across Starting Strength.
Gotcha.
And I thought, this makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And so I got the book and read the book, and I started looking. They had, even at that time, they had some videos and stuff out. Mark Ripito, how to deadlift, how to press.
And this was about 2 years ago?
This is about 2 years ago. Okay. And I started at that. It's about 2 years ago where I started collecting the equipment.
Gotcha.
So if I'm too cheap to go to a gym, you know, I'm also too cheap to spend a lot of money on equipment. Right?
Yeah.
But I needed a barbell. And so I found a place, a guy locally who buys gym equipment from gym closeouts and stuff and sells them online.
Yeah.
And I bought a $60 barbell from him.
Nice.
It's just a cap barbell. It's
nothing fancy.
Right. And I bought some other guy was selling 80 pounds or 100 pounds of weights, some fives and some tens, you know.
Nice.
And I picked up those to just get started with.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, because I didn't have any squat stands or anything, I didn't have any 45s to put the barbell on for deadlift.
Yeah.
I was putting the bar up on blocks.
Gotcha.
You know, so I was pulling from a reasonable height instead of from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then for presses, I would just clean the bar up from the floor and then press.
Yeah.
Right. And then for for squats, the same thing. I would clean the bar up. I would press it.
Yeah.
I would lower it back down to my back.
Yeah. That only works for a little while.
Works for 45 or 60 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, once you get up like 90 pounds, it's
pretty challenging. Tough, right? Yeah.
So for a while I was just squatting with 90 pounds because that's all I felt I could safely get onto my back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I was doing it. I was doing the movement, right? And that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then a friend of mine who used to own a gym was actually clearing out some of his old equipment, and he sold me a pair of really commercial grade squat stands for like $100.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a really good deal. And then I set up safeties for myself using sawhorses.
Yeah.
Because I lifted my gym.
Oh
alone.
Yeah, I've seen your video.
Yeah. Awesome. And I don't want nobody spotting me.
Yeah.
Right? I just want to set up safety so I can do that.
Yeah.
So that did me for quite a while. And then I found a coach. Mm. I was on the Starting Strength forum.
Yeah.
And this guy says, "Hey, I need some experience coaching. Does anybody here need a coach for free?"
Yeah.
I'm like, free?
Yeah.
I'm all about that. So I contacted this guy, and it turns out he's actually a really good coach. He's a young guy now he's in his mid 20s. Mm. But he has a really good coaching eye.
Yeah.
And so he really helped me to correct my form in the squat, especially, but pretty much in everything, and get it cleaned up. He was super helpful to me in that. And I would go down, he lives 45 minutes away. So once every month or two, I would go down and spend some time with him personally, and he would work with me personally.
Yeah.
Mostly what I would do is I would video my lifts, and I would I would load them up to Google
Drive.
Yeah, Google Drive, and then share the folder with him. He would look at it, and then he would send me his thoughts. So
cool.
Yeah, it was very
awesome.
Cool. It helped me a lot. And then one day I was casting around on Facebook Marketplace, and I found somebody who was selling a squat rack, just a Weider squat rack, nothing fancy, for $100.
Nice.
So I called him. I said, "Is it still there? I'll be down there in 2 hours, right?" And
he drove
down and took it apart with a wrench and loaded it in my car. Mm-hmm. And she was also selling a bunch of plates. So I picked up some plates and
nice.
A kettlebell and some dumbbells.
Yeah.
What I ended up doing is I ended up buying all this stuff, and I would keep what I needed and sell the stuff that I didn't need, and it would pay for the stuff I kept.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I probably only put in, I now have a pretty good setup. It's ugly, but it's pretty good setup. I have enough, I have enough plates now where I could put over 600 pounds on the bar.
Nice.
But I haven't gotten to that point yet, but I have enough that I can.
Yeah.
And I have a squat rack, and I have stands, and I have plates and all the stuff I need.
Yeah.
So, been doing good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm pulling my max right now. This summer, I pulled 385 on the deadlift.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I squatted 345 for single, actually for double on the deadlift on the squat. And I haven't been able to break 200 on the overhead press yet.
Yeah.
190. Tough.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping by the end of this year I can crack 200. And then awesome. The bench press, I think I topped out at like 265 or 270. I can't remember exactly where that is.
Nice.
I don't care about the bench press. I think
it's you don't care about it because you have to lay down to do it.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
What kind of exercise is that if you're laying down?
Right. Right.
When I want to take a nap, I go bench press.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Those are awesome, super impressive numbers. I mean, okay. So thanks for kind of the overview of kind of your fitness journey thus far, man.
That's
I mean,
my history. Yeah.
Yeah. So let me, first of all, let's jump straight into like, what most people probably think when they see like what the title of this episode is going to be, about old dude training. And so like, let's just say like, you know, typically most people are going to see that and they're going to think, oh, old dude training is going to be like something that's light, you know, something that's easy on the joints, something that's, you know, not too much excitement. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of how people normally think about it. So share a little bit about what you found and what your experience has been and kind of why strength training is. I mean, would you agree that strength training is absolutely the way that people should train, you know, who are like even like 50 plus?
I think it definitely should, depending on your goals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It should absolutely for everybody be a component of their training.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
I agree.
For me right now, it's the main part of my training.
Yeah.
I recently had an experience where I realized I need to branch out a little bit, and we can talk about that a little later.
Yeah, you can talk about it now if you want to. I've done the same thing, so.
Yeah. So I've been working very much, almost exclusively on building strength for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Which is very different from how I had done it before. I've done a lot, you know, like running and hiking and kettlebells and stuff like that. So this summer, actually a couple weeks ago, I went on a hike up Mount Washington, and I think you might have seen pictures of it, Ryan. And for those of you who don't know Mount Washington, it's the tallest mountain in the Northeast. It's it's over 6,000 feet in elevation, which compared to you folks out in the Rockies, that doesn't sound like much. But come on out here and see how you do.
Yeah.
The elevation change is quite a lot, and it's actually steep, even though it's starting for lower level.
Yeah.
And I went with a bunch of high school kids because I was kind of leading a trip from a local Christian high school. And what I found out is that when you spend 2 years focusing on developing strength, that doesn't prepare you to hike a mountain.
Yeah.
Because I was sucking wind really bad the whole time. Now, of course, I'm with the most athletic young men, you know, 15 to 17 year olds in the, in the school. So that didn't help comparatively speaking.
Right.
But it was just a rough time. And I'm like, okay, I need to work more on some of this. If I want to hike, I need to work on that. I need to condition myself.
Yeah.
So I need that. So that's another thing. But what I found is this, simply just talking about the back pain, because I don't think I'm alone. There's a lot of guys my age and younger who experience back pain.
Yeah.
Since I started doing this, I won't say I've had no back pain or no back trouble, but I've had much, much less. Like if I were to give a number to it, I would say compared to what I have less, I have maybe 10% of the trouble with my back that I had before.
Wow. That's awesome.
And it's less severe than what I had before.
Yeah.
And I recover from it more quickly than what I had before.
Yeah. That's so awesome, man.
And I think that's a success.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, for sure.
And the reason is, and I credit very much the starting strength approach to it, which is not the only approach, but it's a pretty good one.
Yeah, I agree.
Is they start you off with something that's very reasonable and liftable. Like when I started lifting, I was like, oh, this is too easy.
Yeah.
Like I'm not
even breaking a sweat. Yeah, it feels that way.
Yeah. I'm not breaking a sweat. I don't feel sore. I'm not breathing hard. This is just too easy. Mm-hmm. But I stuck with the program, you know, do my squats, do my press, do my deadlift, take a day off, come back on Wednesday, do it again, add 5 pounds, come back on Friday, do it again, add 5 pounds.
Yeah.
I stuck with that program, and it gives the body time to adjust.
Yeah.
Right? And to recover. And so I saw pretty significant strength gains through that process.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, the body adapts, and that's really the secret to it. It's not even a secret. That's just really the trick to
it. Yeah, the human is just how we're wired. First of all, I'm a big fan of starting strength. Like, I wish I had found, similar probably to what you're saying, I wish I had found starting strength when I first got into, like, working out. I mean, I went through, I think most people, unless they just get really lucky with the first, you know, their first program being an awesome one, like, really to their goals, they just kind of do whatever is the most, like, popular at the time, or their friend that's in shape does, they just kind of jump on that, you know. So for me, it was, I mean, I'm 31 now, and I was probably, I don't know, 15 when I first started, like, trying to like work out, like, and so first it was just like bicep curls and like ab exercises, you know, like that was pretty much all I did. And then I went into CrossFit for a few years, and that was like, that's a whole different topic that I'll interview somebody on eventually. But I have kind of like a love-hate relationship with CrossFit. Like, it helped me a lot in general
fitness. I think a lot of people do.
Yeah. I mean, it helped me a lot in general fitness. I think that they absolutely crush the accountability and group dynamic of fitness. But I also think that there's some gyms do it better now. Some boxes rather do it now, but like, back then when I was doing the workout of the day, I mean, it would be, you know, it could easily be 2-3 weeks between me doing the same repeating an exercise, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I mean, they, and so like, yeah. I wasn't really building much of any strength or muscle because I wasn't doing anything frequently enough to get better at it. So,
right. But they consider that a feature. They don't consider that a problem. That's part of the plan. Right.
Right. And some of the, and to their credit, a lot of the CrossFit gyms and coaches that I now have connected with or am familiar with, they do like skills training where like, you know, they may do a certain lift on a regular basis and try to have the progressive overload going on with that. So that's, you know, I think a lot of them do it well. Some of them don't, just like anything else. But I did CrossFit for a couple of years. The main reason I left that was because of what I just said. I wasn't seeing a lot of progress in the ways I wanted progress, which was like strength and muscle gain. I got a little, and then I discovered a pretty good program called Stronglist 5x5, which is pretty, you know, it has the same kind of lifts. Were you going to say something?
It's funny you say that, because I found Stronglist before I found Starting Strength.
Same, yeah.
And I actually started lifting 5x5.
Really?
And then I found Starting Strength. And even early on, the 5x5 was getting really hard.
Too much, yeah.
And then they talked, Starting Strength talks about 3x5. And so I switched to 3x5. I said, this is better.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it, man. I mean, I think 5x5, I think the 5x5 thing is good. I won't get too off topic here, but I think the 5x5 thing is good. If you're like really young, you know, that might be a good program. Right. And also once you've gotten to a certain point, like you're more of an intermediate and the starting strength, like, you know, just 3 sets of 5 isn't working anymore. But even then, I think there are better ways to go about it than like just going to 5 sets of 5 than 3 and 5. But I mean, that's what I found first. And I definitely found a lot more progress on that program in the ways that I wanted, which was strength and muscle. Because I was, you know, I married my wife in 2010, and I'm about like 5'8.5", and I was like 130 pounds. Like my head was just like wobbling on my like skinny neck, you know, like that's just how, like, I just, you know, I'm just still in awe that like she married me like at that time. Like, but I mean, when I look back at the pictures, but like, you know, man, I was like, right now, like I hang out between like right now, like depending on if I'm like really trying, if I've like gotten uncomfortable with my body fat percentage to the point where I want to cut down a little, or if I'm really, really trying to push my strength up, I'm anywhere between like 180 and 195 right now is kind of where I hang out. And that, but that took me a lot longer than it should have to get to, because I was doing all the wrong things. And then when I did, I wish I had discovered Starting Strength, because I didn't discover Starting Strength until probably 2 years ago. And I kind of reset myself and did like a little bit of LP, linear progression, again, the program you're talking about. And so that was, it helped me a lot.
Do you think your listeners are familiar with Starting Strength?
Some of them are. So like what happens is, if
people, here we are talking a lot about it, and I don't know if they know what we're really talking about.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to clarify it. Like, what I'll typically do is, if somebody, so Starting Strength is in a nutshell, I mean, you literally are, you're doing 4 exercises, you know, you're doing like, so there's a day A and a day B, just so you kind of have an overall picture. So like when you go in, like, and you might do like it's 3 days a week with a day of rest in between, ideally. So if you do like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday split, it's going to be day A is like squat, bench, deadlift. Day B, which would be Wednesday, would be like squat, overhead press, deadlift. And then Friday is the same as Monday. And then the next week you flip that. So it just keeps going A, B, A, B, A, B like that. And so that's
the salient point of it is you're doing a linear progression, which means you're adding 5 pounds to each lift. Every session, Monday, add 5 pounds, Wednesday, add 5 pounds, Friday. Yep. And if you're an untrained individual, you can keep that up for 2 to 3 months.
Yep.
Depending on your own genetics and your age and other factors, right?
Yep.
But it's designed, and if you do the lifts the way they teach it, it's designed to build strength rapidly. That's why it's called Starting Strength.
Yep.
And then as you get to a certain point where you can't continue to add 5 pounds because you can't adapt that quickly, then you switch over your programming to something a little more nuanced and complex.
Yeah.
But it's very straightforward starting out. And
you'll
be
shocked at how quickly you get stronger. Yeah. I mean, I actually, like, I mostly do online coaching, but I actually coach, like, I have, like, a basement gym here. And I actually coach a couple of guys in person that I'm just taking basically through the Starting Strength, like, linear progression. I mean, we have a couple of, like, I'll throw in like arm work and ab work and stuff at the end of it sometimes, just because people care about that. You know what I mean? But like, for the most part, like, that we stick to those lists until we get to a point where we need to like you said, make it more complex than that, because it works. I mean, they'll mess with it if it's working
And that's what appealed to me about it. Again, I like to lift by myself. I like to do my own thing, but I also don't have the equipment to be complicated.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to buy a GHD and a lat pull down and all those other things for my gym.
Yeah.
Because I'm cheap.
Yeah.
And I don't have the space, right? I want something that's going to give the biggest bang for the buck.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's why it appealed to me to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Now I'm fancy because I got a stall mat.
That's awesome. I have those too, man. That's what I use.
Now I'm all fancy.
Trying not to crack the foundation over here.
So it's been very good progress.
Yeah.
And because it's measurable, because I keep a training log, right? It's easy to count the pounds on the bar.
Yeah.
It's easy to count over time. Is that number going up?
Right.
I found that running, besides being pounding on the joints and all that kind of stuff, or even kettlebell work or whatever, at a certain point, it's hard to continue to improve, and it's hard to measure that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I suppose if I'd done more study, I could find ways to, now that I understand programming better through weight training, I could probably figure out ways to program for running better too.
Yeah.
But I never, it's very easy to program for barbell training.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just makes a lot of sense.
It does, man. It really does. So, I know we got off on a little bit of a tangent there, but I think it was a good one to kind of explain like a little bit more of the details of the program where you found the most success so far. So I want to go back really quickly to just like the back pain, because I know a lot of people, they think like, oh no, like a lot of people just in general, but especially people, who like, once they're out of like their 30s, for instance, you know, they start to think, okay, like my days of like weight training like are over, especially if they've never done it and aren't educated on it. They start to think like, this is not an option for me. But like for you, you've literally had like pain reduction, you know, and things like that, and improved health. Yeah. And I mean, for me, like, I know like it's not really applicable to the like the old dude training topic, but I mean, I have like pretty moderate like scoliosis in my back. So my spine is like kind of like curved at the top, and then it straightens out, and then it curves pretty drastically at the bottom.
Yeah.
And I don't do a chiropractor like super often, but like I was leaving like my full-time job to go all in on the coaching recently. So we just took crazy advantage of the insurance and did everything we could, and like went to the chiropractor a few times. And I didn't even know I had the scoliosis until I did this, because I'd never had a reason to like go get x-rayed. And we went, and he was just like, this is your spine. And I was just like, oh my gosh, you know? And so he explained it to me. He was just like, the only reason that you, like, he was like, most people that I treat who have, who have a spine like this are in a good bit of pain. And I have pretty much zero pain. And he was just like, the only reason, you know, you don't have, you know, you're not experiencing that is because like you've built this muscle up over time, and you've continued the strength.
Right.
And you have like muscle supporting it and keeping it from getting any worse and pushing on other things. And, you know, so I mean, go ahead.
This is one of the things that also got me. Like, if you look around on the starting strength site and some of the stuff that they're putting out and some of the stuff that their coaches are putting out, there are coaches who specifically focus on barbell training for older populations.
Now,
when you're talking the sport of powerlifting, older means over 35. What these guys are doing, these coaches, both men and women, they're focusing on people who are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Right. And if you look up a video on YouTube, I think it's called It's Never Too Late to Start. It's a woman named Gus, who's in her 80s, I think, or maybe, close to 80, close to 90. And she's a friend of Mark Ripoteau's down in Wichita Falls. And she tells her story. In a nutshell, she was having trouble, she'd been falling and getting hurt.
Yeah.
And Mark, who owns the gym, said, come on in, I want to train you. And she came in because she knows Mark. And within 6 months, I think it was, she was able to give up her walker, and she hasn't fallen since she started training.
Yeah.
She's not deadlifting 385.
Yeah.
Right. But that doesn't matter. She's deadlifting enough so that she gets stronger.
Yeah.
And I read stuff like that, and I see stuff like that, and I'm like, this is what appealed to me about building strength.
Yeah.
I'm a fairly vigorous 56-year-old guy, but 20 years I've learned goes by fast. And in 20 years, I'll be 76, and I want to still be vigorous, and I still want to be able to play with my grandkids and not be weak.
Yeah.
And so part of it's a plan to just keep living a full life.
Yeah.
Right. It's a. I don't think I will ever compete in a powerlifting contest that doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
I might, but more for the sake of what it will teach me, what I will learn from doing it. I don't really need the competition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's one caveat to that. I had this idea in my head to see if I can deadlift 600 pounds by the time I'm 60.
That's awesome.
And if I can do that in my home gym, I'll sign up for a powerlifting competition just so I can do that where people can see me.
Yeah.
But other than that, I won't.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that, man.
It's about being strong.
Yeah.
For the rest of my life. So I'm excited about doing that.
Yeah. So you would say overall, just generally, you have a kind of a better quality of life since you've added a good bit of strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. I think that, you know, one thing that happens is like when people see the videos or they see like most of the marketing for like lifting is still very, I honestly, and I don't know if you agree with this, but I kind of feel like thankfully strength training is kind of like gaining some traction more than it has like for the general population rather than just like, you know, this elite like kind of tier of people of how it's been perceived in the past. But I do think we're still coming out of it in a point that like a lot of people still think like weightlifting is just for like athletes and like people who are, you know, who are training for a specific thing or like really intense, like dudes or like, you know, I just think that I think that like when you start to, we start to have these more of these kind of conversations and, you know, I've heard, I think it's Mark Ripito, I've heard say things like, you know, this lady, it might've even been that lady, like people who like older ladies who struggled like to even like get up and down from like the toilet themselves
yeah.
and are able to do that right. now because they're squatting, you know, and they're not in there like they're not in there necessarily like clapping the chalk everywhere and like screaming and listening to metal and lifting. They're just going in there and lifting the bar up and putting it back down, and they're getting stronger and they're able to do things they couldn't before and prolonging like their mobility, you know. And and so I think that it's a huge thing that we should be talking about, so I'm really glad to have you here kind of sharing about that.
And I'm not there yet. I'm not that old.
Yeah, I know that. I know.
But and my phone's ringing.
You're good.
But it's one of those things where the phone interrupted me.
You're fine, man. You were talking.
I'm not that old. I'm not as old as like Gus and some of the other people, but I'm old enough so that I'm like, I look at it this way. I see classmates of mine who graduated with me from high school and I see them on Facebook and I go, ooh, what happened to you?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. People may look at me and they go, dude, he doesn't look anything like he did when he was in high school. Right.
Yeah.
With the beard and everything. But, but I don't look like I'm sick.
No, man.
I see some of these people and I go, oh, hey, you know, what
happened? Yeah.
And especially, here's the other thing. High school athletes, right? Mm-hmm. The basketball players, for instance, who were the stars. In my school, we didn't have a football team. It's not big in New England.
Okay. Right?
Our school was too small. We didn't have football, but basketball was the big thing.
Yeah.
And I know the guys who were on the basketball team were the kings of the school in many ways.
Yeah.
I look at some of those guys and I'm like, oh, dude.
And
I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
I want to be healthy and I don't want a knee replacement. I want strong legs.
Yep. It's amazing how many issues you can avoid or at the very least like delay by a good bit, like by just doing some like basic strength training stuff. It doesn't have to be crazy intense. It doesn't have to be constant. You know, you don't have to be in the gym 6-7 days a week. It's very doable. So let me, a couple of questions here I just wanted to cover. So you mentioned the back pain and how it's gotten better. Was there any kind of time when you first started doing squats that it was like squats and deadlifts and things, they were pretty taxing on the lower back where it kind of got worse before it got better? Or was it more of like an immediate, like, it's feeling a lot better? You know, did you ever go through like, I've just got to push through this, or how did that go?
Yeah. So one of the things that if you read the literature, if you read the Starting Strength book and you're reading in the forums and the other stuff they're publishing, the articles and stuff, which I do, I read a lot.
Yeah.
And especially the barbell medicine people, right, which kind of came out of Starting Strength in a lot of ways, they talk a lot about, I don't want to say pain management, because that's not the right word. That's a medical term. How to mentally handle and understand pain.
Yeah.
And that was very helpful to me, because there was a time, I remember the first time I pinged my back, I'm going to call it that.
Yeah.
When I was deadlifting.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pulling the bar. Like, it was like the third lift of a set of five, the third rep of a set of five. Mm. And I'm pulling it up, and I feel that guitar string popping feeling in my back. Yeah. Right. And I'm like, ooh, ooh, right. And almost immediately the muscles start to cramp up. Right. Mm. And the pain starts. But what all the literature around this had talked about, said this happens. Mm. It's not anything to panic about.
Right.
Right. And they said, take weight off the bar. And if you can, finish your sets with lighter weight just to keep moving. Yeah. And then the prescription was, every day you should then, after this injury, you should deadlift.
Yeah.
Light, you know, like with an empty bar or even with nothing, just squatting, just, air squats, you know, doing, just to keep bringing blood into the tissue that's been affected. Right. And if you do this, you'll find that you will recover more quickly.
Yeah.
And that was a counterintuitive message.
Yeah. Because right? Not what you hear from everybody else. Yeah.
Take ibuprofen.
Yeah.
Lay down. Right.
Watch just the Golden Girls.
Right? Yeah. And I was like, well, I know that other times I have taken the ibuprofen and laid down, and it hasn't, I won't say it hasn't helped, but this can't hurt anymore. And this is from people who have done it. They're not making the stuff up. Right.
Yeah.
So I took their advice and started doing it. And in this particular instance, the first time that happened, within 3 days, I was back lifting what I was lifting before it started.
That's awesome.
Now, there have been other times, like it's happened a few other times, and it's taken 5 days.
Yeah.
Right? Or at the end of this summer, I came down with a combination of, it was back pain and a sinus infection. That kind of all combined on me at once.
Yeah.
Man. But it wasn't the same kind of back pain, but it was, anyhow, I took like 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
And so what I did is, when I started in, I just went back and I didn't start with the programming that I had been doing. I just deloaded a little bit and did a mini LP, a mini linear progression.
Yeah.
Right. And got back up. And by the time the 2 weeks of doing that mini LP was done, I'm good.
Yeah.
Right. I'm back in. I'm feeling great. Yeah. It didn't. So it teaches you a different way of handling the injury.
Yeah.
That's not passive. It's active.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it seems to me to, it's no worse than what I was experiencing before.
Yeah.
And I think in many ways it feels better. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
That's anecdotal. It's not out of a study or anything.
Right. Right. No, but it man, it's over time. I mean, that's been proven to work by people who, you know, who are like really credible, and just, I mean, it's what I've done. It's what I like have people do when they have those tweaks and things like that. I mean, obviously it's different if we're talking about like a really serious injury, but with all the, like the tweaks and the pains and stuff like that happen, I mean, now I know that it's because of that scoliosis, but I didn't know this before. But, you know, so my right side of the back of my back is always trying to like kind of make up for, you know, because it curves over there. So it's always kind of trying to make up for some of the stability that's not there because of the spine. So like whenever I would, my squat has always been like my worst lift, because as I start to really, really like push up the weight, I'll get probably similar to what you're talking about. Like that, like really sudden, like just, it's almost like it just gives out, and like, it's like really sharp pain suddenly. And I would, like, when I lived in New York, it was so bad that sometimes like I almost would like fall on the subway stairs, like trying to get home after the gym and stuff. Like
you ever played guitar?
No, I mean, I try, but I don't know how to.
So you tuned a guitar and you tuned guitar strings. Have you ever tightened one up so far that it breaks?
No, but I could.
Well, imagine it. So that's the feel. It's why I say it feels like in my back, it feels like a string breaking.
I could see that for sure. That's how I would probably describe
sensation. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's I don't either. I think it's, you know, I think just, you know, it, when it happens, like, originally, like, I would just have to, I just did what you said, like, I would just take ibuprofen and lay down, and yeah. But now, I mean, ever since I, you know, really, really started coaching and, like, being like, okay, like, if I'm going to coach other people with this, like, years back, I was like, I'm going to coach other people, I need to know how to handle this for myself a lot better.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I would, like, I'll do, literally, like you said, I'll lighten the weight, and I'll keep doing that, that movement, but I'll do it for higher reps, you know, yeah. Depending on what I'm comfortable with. Like, if it's really bad, I'll do really lightweight for like 20 or more reps. And if it's like, if it's just kind of like, all right, I'll go to like an 8 to 10 rep or like 10 to 12 rep range with that weight until I feel ready to kind of jump back into that. Or like, if it's my back, you know, if I usually it squats, like, for whatever reason, deadlifts don't do it to me, but like the, right. the heavy squats do. And I'll sometimes switch to front squats, you know, for a couple of weeks. And just like really push that up instead of like doing the back squats, and then I'll switch back. You know, I mean, I agree 100% that like just stopping and not doing any activity is probably one of the worst things you can do. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And the part of it I think that's significant in terms of the starting strength way of thinking is it's not about doing high reps with a low weight, which is what you'll hear a lot of. Mm-hmm. And it comes, I think that comes out of people who have a bodybuilding mindset.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But starting strength is really about training yourself to be able to lift heavy.
Yeah.
To be able to produce the force. And that makes a difference. What I found is lifting heavy for fewer reps was less fatiguing.
Yeah.
Overall.
That makes sense.
Right?
Yeah.
Because what I've kind of recognized is it's when I get too fatigued is when I'm susceptible.
Yeah.
Too fatigued over a long period of time, right?
Yeah.
Is when I'm really susceptible to these episodes.
Yeah.
But because you're dosing with a heavy weight but with a low amount of reps,
mm-hmm.
it has a great training effect, but it doesn't overly fatigue you. It helps you to manage yeah. fatigue. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so one of the things my coach and I worked on is me learning to recognize when I'm getting fatigued.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. And you know, I'd say his name is Tyler. I'd say, Tyler, you know, this is a little heavy. I think we need to back off. And he would adjust for that, right?
Yeah.
Because I could – I become much more aware of my back and what it feels like. And there have been times when I backed off from a planned set because I can feel it and I know what it feels like before it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm going to stop right now.
Yeah.
Right? If I – in the big picture, if I don't, if I only do two sets instead of three, or in the last set of five, I only do three and not five, mm-hmm. in the big picture, that's not going to really matter.
Right.
And I use my judgment, and yeah. it's okay to say, oh, I'm not going to do that those last yeah. two because I can feel it in my back.
Right? Yeah, definitely.
And that's part of it, too. It's created a different kind of body awareness in me.
Yeah.
So I carry myself a little differently. I sit differently. It's easier for me to sit with a straight back now and yeah. not slouch.
Yeah.
Because those muscles in my, those erector muscles in the lower part mm-hmm. of my back are stronger than they were.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. That can't
yeah.
be a bad
oh,
thing.
Oh yeah. Not at all. Right?
A lot of those little kinds of things, the strength training has just helped me out. And
yeah.
if I continue it, it's just going to be great. And yeah. I just think it's fun.
It is. I agree. So, two more quick things I want to touch on before we wrap it up. So you mentioned that like you're now going to start kind of doing something where you can hike without getting winded. What will that look like for you?
I've been thinking about that. Yeah, I do. I have a sort of a plan.
Yeah.
And the trick is that for me is scheduling, and it's a matter of time. I don't know how I'm going to fit it in time wise, but I'd mm-hmm. like to do it. Anyhow, there are a couple of things. It's going to be a combination, I think, of some long, steady state running, probably not more than 2 miles at a time. I don't see a need to do that.
Yeah.
And the course that I have, I live in a state that's blessed with a lot of hills.
Yeah.
So the course I'll be running on has some pretty significant hills on it. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
So it's 2 miles out and back. Combine that with some hill sprints.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how I imagine. Like one day a week, I'll run a 2 mile run.
Mm.
And another day a week, I'll do some hill sprints.
Yeah.
And then another day a week, about 3 blocks from where I live, there's a parking garage that has like four floors of stairs.
Yeah.
And I can go run or walk those. Before I started strength training, I would walk those with a pack with 80 pounds in it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's one of the stupid things I would do because it was fun for me. Nobody else thinks it's fun, but I think it was fun.
Yeah.
And if I would go back to doing that once a week, that would go a long ways toward getting me toward hiking.
Yeah. Fit, right? Yeah.
And it would be a good complement to the strength training there.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of boost to your kind of cardiovascular health. Yeah. I mean,
so I'm looking at the kinds of things I would love to get, like an Airdyne bike or a rowing machine.
Yeah.
They recommend, the people who are into strength training, the coaches and whatnot, they recommend, this is a little esoteric, the kinds of exercises that have a strong concentric phase and no strain in the eccentric phase of your muscle contraction.
Yeah.
Right. And rowing and bicycling both fit that. And stair climbing does, I think, to some extent. So that's why I'm focusing on those kinds of things.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I think that like strength training will give you, like, depending on your life and like what your goals are and what you do, I think strength training will give you like a pretty decent like cardio, you know. Yeah, definitely if you're not doing anything, your cardio is going to improve from the strength training, and it's enough for like just day-to-day stuff usually. But when you really realize that you're, even when you're doing strength training regularly, the times that you realize, I should probably throw some cardio in here is like you said, when you're kind of out of your element, you're going on a hike or trying to keep up with, you know, somebody else. You know.
And hiking is, it's not, that's not day-to-day life either. It's to spend 6 or 8 hours walking up these very steep inclines, you know, it's pretty taxing. And it's a different kind of deal.
And I think the cardio can look however, but I'll just kind of throw this in there. So like you mentioned that you would do that on a different day. So would you kind of put that on your off days of strength training or kind of after the strength training sessions, but the same day? How do you think?
That's what I'm trying to figure out schedule-wise, right?
Yeah.
The prevailing wisdom is it's best to do the cardio on the same day and then take your off days to complete off day.
Yeah.
But I'm like, then I would be spending 3 hours training on those training days, which would be a blast, but I have other things to do. So I'm already getting up at 5:30 in the morning. How much earlier can I get up to make that effective, right?
Yeah. So
I have to sort that out.
Yeah.
And I might not be able to do that 3 days a week. I might only be able to do it twice a week.
Yeah.
And I might experiment. I might experiment doing it on my off days.
Yeah.
Because I don't anticipate the cardio stuff being super intense.
Yeah.
And even if it does, let's just say, again, according to the common wisdom, even if it does slow down my strength gains, I'll be overall more fit.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
That's
so
true.
I try and keep those things in balance.
Yep.
I'm not a power lifter where that's all I'm doing.
Yeah. Yep. That's what I was about to say. I think you just have to kind of adjust it for your goals. If you're training for a powerlifting meet, that's your process is going to look different. If you're training for a marathon, your process is going to look different. But if you're just going for overall like health and being able to like handle everything life throws at you, well, like a good, like I would say strength training should be the priority, and then cardio should not be neglected is kind of how I like. Yeah. So like how I usually program it for people is like, if they have the time to do same day, it'll be strength training session. And then I actually go to like, kind of usually like a high interval intensity training. So we'll do, you know, something like maybe like 15 or 20 minutes of that, like where you're kind of going on the circuit. So like maybe 30 minutes of all out effort on a Airdyne bike or something, and then a minute of casually like riding it. And then, you know, and that usually helps a lot. And then if it is an off day thing, then I don't program the high intensity. It's something more like a two minute.
I even think like, I used to read about a guy who does, he calls them breathing squats. You load the bar like 135 or 180 pounds and you do 20 squats.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I've done it. Brutal. And it's a killer, and it will definitely, and you do a couple sets of that and you're, you know, it'll blow you out.
Oh,
but here's the thing. If what I want to do is hiking, that doesn't have the specificity for like walking does.
Yeah.
Like walking stairs down. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So that's another reason why I'm doing those things. I would love to get one of those, a sled wouldn't work because I'm in an urban situation, and pushing a sled down the street at 6 a.m, my neighbors are not going to like that.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Man, but people like do it here. I've seen.
They have wheeled versions that have resistance built in.
Yeah.
I'd love to get one of those, but they're like $1,500. But they're
just get a wheelbarrow, put all your plates in there, and just haul it down the street.
That'd be fun.
That's awesome, but, man.
Those kinds of things.
Last thing I want to cover here. So like anytime somebody has a home gym, I just like, cause I'm a big, big fan of home gyms because I think it removes a lot of obstacles. You know, especially when somebody's struggling to get to the gym. I know with you, it's like, I just don't want to pay anybody for that.
Yeah,
that totally makes sense. But for a lot of people, it's like, I don't have, like, they might be more willing to spend like a little chunk of money up front rather than like incur a new regular expense that they have to work into the budget every month, or they might not, you know, they might not have the time. They might legitimately not have the time or the ability to go to the gym on a regular basis. Some people live really far away. Some people have kids that they're, you know, that they've gotten, like, can't just leave, you know, don't have anybody to watch them. So, I mean, I'm a huge fan of home gyms, and for me, like, it's just convenient. Like, I can just literally, like, my wife and I can come down here and lift and then, like, go back up and have dinner, like, without having to get dressed and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of home gym. So, like, you said you kind of, like, over time, couple years together from, would that, I assume, is that, like, somebody you knew, but then sometimes was it, like, Craigslist or, like, where did
no,
you?
No, it wasn't anybody I knew. It was all.
Oh, I thought you said you got a rack.
Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's all how I did it. So, I just knew what I needed.
Yeah.
And I just started haunting the sites looking for it, right? And when I waited, I like to wait for a deal, like on plates.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people sell plates for like a dollar a pound, which is what they go for if they're new, and I know they're not lighter because they're used,
right?
I know they're the same weight, but dude, I'm not going to pay a dollar a pound for
when
plates.
I can just go get it for the same price brand.
So I wait. My last plate purchase, which was a funny story in and of itself. I drive a 1998 Mazda Protege.
Nice.
Right. It's older than my oldest daughter. Right. And it runs fine. But I went onto somebody's house and I picked up 600 pounds worth of plates in my Protege.
Yeah.
So I'm putting some plates in the trunk and some plates in the back seat and some plates in the front.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of weighed out. But it was the springtime and it was in New Hampshire and it was on a dirt road.
Yeah.
So let's just say there was a couple patches in that dirt road that were a little muddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it was a touch and go, and I did a little bit of metal on some rocks on the way.
Yeah.
So that was an adventure.
But you got them.
But I got them because this woman I waited and she was selling them cheap.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And then I got another guy who his business is he cleans out houses.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a bunch of weightlifting equipment.
Yeah.
He didn't want it. He didn't care. So he sold it. He sold me like 600 pounds worth of plates for $100.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And it was, absolutely. That's how you get them.
It is. And that's, go ahead. Sorry.
And some of the stuff, he wanted to sell a bench, you know, I already have a bench. I said, I'll give you $100. He wanted to sell 150. I was going to get $100 just for the plates and the bars.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And I took what I needed. And then some of the stuff I've sold since, and I paid for the plates that I bought.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So you do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Wait for the deal and you just take time to build it up slowly. So it took me a while before I bought shoes. It took me, I still don't have a belt.
Yeah.
I should, but I got to sell some stuff before I can pay for my belt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just don't be in a hurry and just,
mm-hmm.
In the beginning of what I described, my philosophy was I'll do what I can do with what I have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then as I build it along, I'll do more.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Now I have everything I need to do what I need to do. I'd like a nicer rack.
Yeah.
The rack that I have does its job.
Yep. It's all that matters. Yeah. It's a step up from the wood tall horses you had or whatever. Yeah. I mean, hey man, that was impressive. I mean, but I think that, you know, people like have this thing in their mind of like, I don't know why, but people still have in their mind that they have to buy new, you know, stuff, just anything. I mean, my other, like I have two businesses, like now I do my coaching and then I do like, I actually like get and like kind of clean up and fix and sell used furniture is like my other thing. So like, I will tell you, how many people are out there trying to just get rid of stuff cheap or free is just, it will blow your mind. Like, and so, you know, obviously it's going to depend on like what area you live in. If you live in a more urban area rather than like out in the country or something, it's going to, of course, you're going to see more of it, you know, in a, like a metro area or whatever, but anywhere people are trying to get rid of stuff. And so, you know, I did the same exact thing. Like nothing, I'm trying to think. The only thing that is in my home gym that is new is my bench, because I had a bench that I had had before we moved to New York from a brand called Rep Fitness. And it's like a really solid, like,
nice.
It's an incline decline flat bench, and I can do, you know, and I knew I wanted that bench again, so I bought that new. But everything else, the bars, the racks, the plates, everything is like, I found on either Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist. One guy, like I got a rack, a bar, and 300 pounds of plates for $100 from some guy whose kid was like moving out, and he was just wanting to get rid of them. You know, I got another 300 pounds of plates from a guy who was used to be like a high school football coach and was just like, I just got all these plates I need to get rid of, you know?
That's, and so,
I mean, I mean, there's always somebody out there who's like who wants to get rid of something you want. So, I mean, I would just like you said, you don't have to go save up thousands and thousands of dollars. You know, like I have done it before where I put aside, like when I got an income tax refund, I've made a home gym out of that in the past. Or you can take that approach where you just slowly build it up and, you know,
you can start small and do what you can with what you got.
Yeah.
Right. And that also makes it easier because you're not risking a ton of money on something that you're not going to, like, you may get into it and find out, I don't have time for this, or I don't really like it that much, or whatever.
Yeah.
Then you haven't blown a lot of money on it.
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely.
And it's another good reason just to kind of start small and kind of build it up over time.
Yep.
It's proverbial, you know, how many people buy treadmills and never, ever use them.
Coat racks.
And the thing about this, I'm buying this stuff and I'm using it.
Yeah.
Right. I'm buying it cheap and I'm using it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. So,
yeah.
But, and my home gym, you've seen the pictures. It's not, it's ugly. It's not pretty.
Hey, doesn't
need I've to got be. Boxes lining the walls that have been there since we moved into the house 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just, and you know, there's recycling and garbage in the corner and there's all kinds of, you know, it's a garage.
Yeah.
And it's just, and it's a, it's like a 100-year-old garage.
Yeah.
The concrete floor is a mess, and it's just, it's not a pretty place.
Yeah.
But it gets the job done.
Yeah.
So I like it.
Yeah. You know? For sure, man. Well, I want to kind of wrap it up here. I think overall, I think, I mean, I hope it's an encouragement to anybody who's listening, who's, you know, you think you're out of your like weightlifting days, you're probably not. Like, you probably definitely benefit from it. You know what I mean? Yeah. In some of the ways that David's mentioned, and maybe some others, you know, that are unique to you. I think, you know, it's good for just about anybody. So
I will say that when I started, even though I outlined about a lot of stuff that I'd done before, when I started, I was pretty detrained. I hadn't actually been consistently training for half a year before I started lifting again.
Yeah.
So gotcha. I was really starting pretty much from scratch physically, not mentally so much, but physically. So it doesn't matter if you're small and short or big, and you know, either way and untrained, you just start where you're at and just start moving it. And that's true whether you're young or old, it doesn't really matter. You know, we had to make some adjustments because as I'm getting older, I think my body it fatigues differently. And it doesn't recover as quickly as maybe it used to.
Yeah.
So we have to adjust for that a little bit, but it's not hard to adjust for that. You adjust and you keep moving forward. So it's another reason why older people shouldn't be worried about it. If it gets to be too much, you just back off.
Yep.
Let your body recover as long as it needs and you keep going. Mm-hmm. It's not.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be an all or nothing kind of thing.
Force to the wall.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's how I think that's one of the biggest killers of any fitness progress is this all or nothing mindset that people have, you know.
You're right. Yeah.
Cool. Well, is there anything else that you would want to share or make sure everybody hears that we haven't covered yet before we wrap it up?
Oh, I should have an inspirational saying at this point. I guess the best thing I can say is to quote Mark Ripito, and I'm going to misquote him probably, but it's close enough. The mantra that I keep going back to in my own mind is that strong people are harder to break and generally more useful.
Yeah. That's an awesome quote.
That's why I do it.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very true. It also means you're probably going to get called on to help people move when you wouldn't have before, but
I was already getting that.
Comes with the territory. Yeah.
Yeah. It dropped off when I got rid of my truck. I sold my, well, I had to junk my truck. So that helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, I really appreciate it, David. And thanks a lot, man. I think this is going to be a good one, and hopefully inspires somebody out there to go start lifting weights. So
I hope so. Thanks, Brandon. It's good chatting with you, buddy.
You too, man. Hey, quick reminder, Pastors Getting Fit Facebook page. If you'd like a little free community there, people on the journey with you, review this wherever you listen to podcasts, and maybe share it with another pastor who you think might benefit from it, in a loving way, of course. And if you think you might be interested in online coaching, somebody to kind of help you figure out what to do and help you stick to it, 251-635-8055. That's my number. Shoot me a text. We'll set up a time to call. Hope you have a good day. Hope you enjoyed this episode.